World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, let's see. If this is Friday, this must be Indianapolis. Sometimes I tell you, I feel like I'm in a time machine chasing things around. This is Coach. We're coming to you live this morning from a hotel room somewhere in the Indianapolis, Indiana area. Out here as part of the Operation Save America regional event. I got an exciting day planned ahead. I'm going to share a little bit with you here. It's Flea Flicker Friday. I'm going to count on those of you in the queue. In fact, let's try to get 30 of us in here today. How many we got? We're sitting about 18 today. Let's get a few more up. Listen, folks, don't miss Monday. That's all I'm going to tell you. Don't miss Monday. We are living. There's something really, 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 really. Do you feel it? Something really crazy going on. Really crazy. This whole thing coming up this weekend with Antifa and their protests out in the streets. Something really unbelievably crazy that's going on. And it's almost, not almost, it's, I believe it to be supernatural. Really believe it. If we really think that, you know, people talk about it being the end times and things winding down. If we really see the clash of the kingdom, really, man, then we would have to realize that both sides have really amped it up supernaturally. Now, wait a minute. The Lord doesn't have to amp it up supernaturally. He doesn't have to do that. But the other side certainly is. And I'm just telling you, would anybody watching this show here today, could you have imagined a year ago pedophiles in Hollywood being exposed? The depth of the corruption of the FBI and the CIA. Pedophiles in the music industry being exposed. The head of the Democratic Party, Donna Brazile, turning on Hillary Clinton and Debbie Blabbermouth Schultz's Rush. All of these. See, the scripture says there is nothing hidden that would not be revealed. And it's like the peeling back of that onion. And you know, everything's been out there for us. It's been like one of those situations where every time a new accusation comes out, is your reaction like mine? Duh. Who didn't know that? And now we find out that Kevin Spacey, from what I understand, Kevin Spacey has been exposed as he is going to be exposed in the process of being exposed as this huge, huge head of this pedophile ring that's going on in LA. And everybody knew it. They all knew it. They all knew it about Harvey Weinstein. The question I guess I'm asking myself is why is it, kind of whispering to the folks next door, why is this all being exposed now? And is it a controlled release, a controlled expose? What in the heck is going on? And I was speaking to a guy yesterday without giving too much liberty. Have you noticed this? Las Vegas has disappeared from the memory hole, isn't it? When's the last time you heard something about Las Vegas? Does anybody know what happened in Las Vegas? Anybody have any idea? Is anybody in charge with anything? Heard anything from any autopsies? How many shots were fired? What kind of guns they used? Anybody heard anything? That big, big, huge story now gone. Now some other guy in New York City, some guy drives a truck, and Chuck Schumer and those guys are still calling for gun control, even though the guy uses a truck. It's like, boys and girls, we are in. Oh, my goodness. Don't miss Monday. That's all I'm going to tell you. Ain't going to miss Monday.
Now, Dave.
Yeah,
Chad. Dave Chad here. One thing, the more things that are revealed, though, the more kind of anxious, I guess, I feel, because it's understood, I think, prophetically, that before destruction of the country happens, the sins of our leaders will be revealed.
Right.
So the more revealing that is, it pushes closer to, in my mind, to the edge, if you will.
Is JR with us? JR, let me check in here some more. Are you in there, JR? Yeah, he's in there today. JR, you know, I saw something. I don't know, brother. I'm not trying to get this wrong. Something you've written or comments you made someplace, right? About the total, and we have to be careful because of the total lack of distrust that is being fomented in America, that we're the point where kids don't trust their parents, we don't trust teachers, we don't trust government, we don't trust doctors. Can you weigh in on that there, JR? You know what I'm talking about? Drink a little bit of this.
I'm sorry. I'm muted.
What's that?
It's what we're talking about, Coach, I think is anarchy and lack of distrust for any authority. We teach our children not to trust their parents because the parents don't take authority over the children. There's no structure in the family.
Right.
And that's starting to leak into society where we don't have any structure in society. And we need to be really careful in my mind, because if we all become anarchists, distrusting this and distrusting that, then we are going to have that Armageddon that we're looking at.
What do we do, JR, if there isn't anything, if you can't trust your government? JR, who in your government do you trust? I'm not making fun of you. I'm just trying to dialogue.
Me? I trust me.
Yeah, I trust me. You trust your mayor? You trust your mayor? I hate to say it. Do you trust your pastor?
Well, I don't have one to distrust. Well,
folks, this is open. This is an open dialogue. I'm throwing it out there for everybody. Is it part of this scheme that we're looking at right now? Is this I hang to the scripture that says, because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will wax cold. Lawlessness is carrying the day. There's absolutely no reason why Hillary Clinton would not be in jail. It's like, look over here, away from it. And then to see Donna Brazile come out yesterday and drop the stink bomb on Hillary, like, what is going on? Showing us again, see what's going on now. I think, again,
Dave,
for some reason, just a second, Roger, for some reason, Donna Brazile is stirring up less trust now in the Democratic Party. She's now stirring up the left even more with this fact. You see, you can't trust him. You can't trust Hillary. You can't trust Wasserman Schultz. You can't trust Obama. That's what Donna Brazile's saying now. Roger, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think we have to.
Hey, welcome back to the volume, by the way.
I got with my Soviet Union counterpart.
There you go.
That is, I think we're going to see more. I don't think through social media and leaking and money, this stuff's going to stay hidden. But I think it's going to get a lot worse. We have to prepare. Worse things are going to be coming out, and it'll erode trust even more. And then that plays into the lack of people coming under any authority, let alone God's authority. But I think it's going to come out. It's not going to be.
Well, let me throw this to you guys in an even different way. Because I've been thinking long and hard about this. Temptation is a powerful thing. It's a powerful thing. We know the scripture says that there's no temptation that's come upon you, but that which is common to man, and God is faithful, you know, not allow you to be trusted or tempted beyond that which you can withstand, but with the temptation provide a way out. And I just began to think about some of our national leaders and tried to superimpose, if that's probably not the proper word, but take some guy on the queue and say, okay, Kevin Bushy's now, he's head of the Pentagon. Kevin's now head of the Pentagon. Kevin seems to me to be a pretty forthright guy, honest guy.
My worst nightmare.
And they put Sarge in charge of the of the Pentagon, good godly man that he is. Do you have any idea, guys, the temptations that would come to Kevin Bushy if he got that position, no matter how honorable a guy he was? Can you imagine the nefarious characters that would end up sitting across the desk from him? Can you imagine how deep and dark some of the associations he would have to have in order to do that job? And what type of man, what type of Christian strength would a man have to be able to resist that? What type of strength would a Christian man have if he knew that the Clinton Foundation was going to funnel $500,000 to him? They were going to cover all the bases for him, and it would help his campaign. If he just voted this way or just voted that way, what type of, that'd be awful strong guy. Wouldn't you need to resist that? Wouldn't you have to be awfully, awfully strong? And so I'm looking at myself. I'm thinking about me and how in my own life, all of us in our own lives, what I would be capable of if I didn't think I would get caught.
That's a pretty good argument for why Jesus taught us to pray daily, lead us not into temptation.
That's a good point.
God knows very well what the strength and the pull that temptation has. But his promise is true. He will not let you be tempted to what you are able. Now, you're being tempted above what you are able to withstand, God's not doing that tempted.
No, he isn't. Well, God doesn't tempt anybody anyway. We know that, right? God, he doesn't tempt anybody. Yes.
Dick, one of the things that's contributing to this is instant information. Anytime you come up with one of the congressmen come up with a godly argument, there's immediately a million anti-godly arguments on Google the next day. Yeah. Google is creating experts in fields they have no idea in. The sheep go to Google. They gather their information from a corrupt source of information. And the other piece of this is ever since the campaign, the election, the hundreds of millions, the trillions that have been funneled into the evil, satanic, demonic, democratic agenda has been, basically now all of those same people are still spending their money, but they don't have their pawns in place. They don't have the Clintons in place to execute their plan.
So that's what's happened, isn't it?
Folks,
you understand what Mark's saying? I think this is really prescient what he's saying. So many of them, they never dreamed the swamp was ever going to get drained. They always figured that the people that were in charge, maybe not the individuals that were in charge, but certainly the system that was in charge was always going to remain in charge. And a guy could be a good conservative Republican and be smart enough to look around and say, hey, as long as I'm playing ball here, nobody's ever going to expose me. What does it hurt? You know, it's some of the perks of the job.
Hey, Dave, how would you like to take all the money that we earn as the Watchmen and all of our followers and hand it to ISIS every week? We just give them a check every week. Mm. That's what's going on in D.C. Soros and his cronies and all the top half percent of the world are funding the Bohemian Club. They're funding CERN. They're funding these things. And then they put these little pawns in place in D.C. to run around and do their bidding, the Obamas, the frigging Clintons, okay? This isn't tin hat stuff. This is on TV every day. Yeah. You know, we consume it. We get infuriated by this. We need to fuel that with the prayer that was just mentioned, to not be tempted and to go forth with God thought, clarity, the right words, conduit for what God wants. Mm-hmm.
Amen, Mark. But the point that I'm making, come on now, let's be honest here. I'm talking about you right now. You. What are you capable of? Hey, look, Jeff Klein jumped in here with me. What are you capable of if you knew you weren't going to get caught? Huh? What are you capable of? And, you know, I'm
Brother, I'm we're capable. We're capable of a lot, brother. And one of the things that, we have really dropped the ball on, the church has, is when we bought into the separation of church and state, the temptation upon these political leaders, the problem is there's no longer the Nathans and the prophetic voice in Washington, excuse me, to hold their feet to the fire to make sure that they make godly laws. And because no Christians are going there, and I mean solid prophetic Christians, going to their legislators or their mayor's door to hold their feet to the fire, but the wicked are lining upside their door and they're getting in the ears of these guys, and these guys are crumbling to it. And there's no such thing as separation of church and state. Yeah. That's a lie the church has bought into.
Dale, you know, it was Matt Truella made that point last night. He said he went to meet with one of his elected officials as a pastor. Matt went as a pastor to meet with the elected official. And he said the elected official was just kind of blown away. He says, I never talk to you guys like you. I never talk to you guys like you. He said, do you have any idea what comes through that door? Who comes in here and sits down in front of me and stuff that they want from me? Do you have any idea? And ask the simple question, where are the men of God? Where are the Christians who are going to stand up and fight? Everybody else is beating down my door. But there aren't any pastors coming. And so Matt
said, Dave, I can say one. I'm sorry, buddy.
Go ahead. What,
one Matt, thing I Matt, would say Matt, that they Matt would go says, and spend a. I'm sorry, Dave.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, buddy.
Matt said.
I was just going to say, Dave. I'm sorry. That it made me think about it is that people would spend $1 billion for a $400,000 position.
That's right. Okay, but they didn't
That's
win.
That's going to tell you they didn't spend win. That much money. To get in a $400,000 position because they're going to, if there's so much else, they would make that much more, you see.
See, folks, for the slow learners out there, Chad is saying Hillary Clinton spent $1 billion for a position that pays $400,000, didn't even win it. What does that tell you about what that position must be like? But the point that Matt was making last night to the elected official that he spoke with was, why won't you be the salt of the earth? Why in the heck won't Christians get involved in government? Why won't Christians get involved in holding their feet, the feet of our elected officials to the fire? Why don't we do it? We don't. At your local church, some of you don't even go to local churches anymore, I understand. Do they have an outreach maybe to the homeless? They have an outreach to the widows? They have an outreach to the old people? They have an outreach to the government? Anybody have an outreach to the school board? Got a committee that keeps an eye on the school board in your church? Anybody have a committee that keeps an eye on the local government? Anybody got any of those? Hell, we haven't never.
And that job, hey, Coach, that job right there is for the pastor. That is the jobs of the pastors to go to those elected officials. It's not for the laity. It is for the prophetic voice, the ministers. They're not going to do it. And think about that. These representatives go in there and they're getting a pay for $180,000 a year, and in 6 years they come out multimillionaires. How does that happen? Mark that happens because they're being bribed.
Yeah, Jeff just whispered over my shoulder, Dale. He said if the pastors would go, a few of us would go with them. So, see that the average the problem that happens is we see. Romans 13, boy, I don't have that. Pull that up there real quickly, Jared. I'm sorry. Hey, guys, listen, I got about 5 or 10 minutes in, and I got to run and then switch phones. So hopefully I'll be right back. But this just hit me. This is so important. Where am I? I got to find you down there, Jared. Romans 13, there you are. Jeff gets to see how it works behind the scenes here today. Jeff's the guy who's always calling in and tells us about things going on in Mount Vernon. Okay, now look here. Romans 13. Let's apply it. Scripturally here. Let's apply it biblically. Let every soul be subject to the higher power. Okay, first of all, time out. Who's the highest power? Everybody's subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Now, guys, listen. If I'm a coach of a football team, and I'm the higher power in the football program, and I delegate to the captain of our football team certain duties to do, and I say, listen, here's what I want you guys to do. I delegate this to the captain. I want you to get these guys together before the game. I want you to take them out to eat. and I want you to get him a good meal, put it in him, good spaghetti and stuff like that, put it in him. And he says, okay, coach, and we give him the money to go out and do it. And we play bad. We play really bad that night and find out what was going on. Hey, Joe, what happened? What did you guys do? And find out that Joe, my captain, delegated authority. My delegated authority, Joe took the money that we gave them to go eat the meal, and they went out and smoked dope with it instead. Now, should we still continue to respect Joe as our captain? Is Joe now the leader, still the leader of the team? Well, it says here, let us get, there's no, for who there's so, I'm sorry, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be that are ordained of God. See, they are ordained of God as long as they continue to obey God and do godly things. As soon as they start, folks, as soon as they no longer are obeying God, they're not authority over you. They're not a power over you anymore. Would God ever honor someone who was violating what he wanted them to do? Of course not. How can we look at this and think this is okay with us? Verse 2 says, whosoever therefore resists the power, what power? Whosoever there, he's not talking about us resisting the power. He's talking about the power that was given to them from God. And whoever resists the power from God wants to say, resists the ordinance of God. That they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. He says, listen, if you got some guy who's in a position of authority and he ain't following God's rules, his damnation's going to fall on. Get him out of there. That's the way I read it. That's the way I read it. See, but see, they tell us in church, no, this means you have to obey me, whether I'm right or wrong, good or bad, ugly or fat. Doesn't matter. You got to obey me. I'm the power. I'm ordained by God. That's not what it says. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Come on. They're not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will you then be afraid of the power? Which power? God. That's the power you're supposed to be afraid of, not your congressman, not the local sheriff. You're supposed to be afraid of the power. And do that which is good, and you shall have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for what? For good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid. Oh, God. And so we have godless government. And we have pastors standing in our pulpits and being taught in schools and everything else that we have to obey. You're a good Christian. Obey the authorities. Obey the authorities. Well, Paul, who wrote Romans 13, hey, boys and girls, are you sitting down? Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament and most of it from jail. How did he get in jail? How did Paul end up in jail? Was it by obeying the authorities? No. He obeyed the authority and he ended up in jail because he said to the guys in the middle, hey, you aren't doing what the guy at the top said. You guys aren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. And so he interposed. He spoke up. He did something. He ends up in jail, writes 2/3 of the New Testament from jail. And then we get churches telling us we're supposed to obey the authority.
And I
are our brains stuck or what?
Can I say John the Baptist?
Yeah.
John the Baptist, same thing.
Well, of all those born under a woman, he was the greatest, Jesus said. And what did he do? He went, he busted out the king and queen. That's what he did. And he went to the highest authority and busted them out. Didn't Jesus say, oh, John shouldn't have been so judgmental? I'm so sorry. John was a great guy, but boy, he was way too judgmental. He just missed it, and he got his head cut off because he should have kept his mouth shut. Is that what Jesus
and
said?
And Peter.
And Peter. And all of them.
Right. And well, and they told Peter, they said, look, we're going to release you, but don't preach this gospel no more. Peter said, be it far for you to obey man or God. Guess what he did? He walked outside and preached the gospel.
He said they let him loose, and they beat him back down on the square. He beat him back down on the square. So the problems that we're seeing, I continue to believe the same thing. I'm not a fatalist. I just believe that God is doing something right now in our midst. If we would open our eyes up, and if we would rise up and speak up, stand up, I believe God is. Guys, let me tell you something. There are kingdoms about to topple. Kingdoms are about to topple. And why aren't the kingdoms toppling? Why are some of the kingdoms not toppling? Because they ain't being pushed over. And who's supposed to push them over? Moi. Those of us who carry the name of Christ. We're God's ministers for good. We are. Not the constable. Not your councilman. Not your county commissioner. Sorry, Jeff. It's the people. It's the people rising up in one voice, but it doesn't happen in the church. Why? Because we don't even like each other. We Christians, we don't like each other. Huh? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I posted. I got a. How much time I have?
Because God's not there. Okay,
let me throw this out there real quick. I posted up the other day on my Facebook page, Juanita Bynum. I don't know if you guys even know. I don't even care if you do. She was preaching at World Harvest Church, Juanita Bynum. And she is going after men in the congregation wearing earrings. Said, don't you know the homosexuals started that? On and on and on. It was, man, was it powerful. So I merely posted it. Jared, that's all I did. I just posted it on Facebook. Said, man, here's some preaching. Woo, here's some preaching. And you know what? The entire, go there. Jared, can you go there real quick? Boy, I wish I didn't have to run. I'm right in the middle of something here. Have you guys heard this thing from Juanita Bynum? I don't know if you have. Go to my Facebook page, Jared. And you know what happens? She, I'm telling you, she tears it up, man. She tears it up. On down, Jared. On down. Keep on. There's me and Jeff. Hey, just keep on down. Oh, Elizabeth had a big victory. She shut down Teen Vogue's print. Did you know that? Homosexual agenda. We talked about that yesterday. I was going to get to that today. But keep going on down because I want to show you. I'm going to show you how messed up we are. I'm going to show you how messed up. Here it is. Now, you don't have to play this. I said, this is some serious preaching here, okay? And you go down here and you read these comments. And you know what they're all talking about? They're all talking about it. Somebody post this. What? Juanita, but she's a false prophet, Jezebel or anointed minister. Then you go on down there. Oh, women aren't supposed to be speaking. On and on of this drivel when all it was a profound a 6-minute clip of this woman dressing down what's going on in the church. It was, I don't care whether it came from a man or a woman. And look, read those comments. See, I hate to do this because I feel like I'm exposing people. I don't mean to do that. But you put it on Facebook, you put it on Facebook. And rather than just listening to the word that she had said, we got people want to argue whether a woman should be preaching to men and whether she's a false prophet. I ain't asking you to follow her. I'm not asking you to go over her house and give her money. Listen to what she's saying. But you can't. We can't. We can't even do that. Because, no, she's a woman. Women aren't allowed to preach. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. Now, I'm not having that debate today whether or not women are allowed to preach. That's not even the daggone point. The point is, Christians can't even listen to something and get their brain to work right. It goes down that religious path. Oh, that doesn't line up with my theology. Oh, my Lord help.
Hey, Lord, Dave.
Help. Yeah.
Can we look at the bright side in all this?
Sure.
The false church will deliver us up to be afflicted and shall kill us. And we'll be hated by all men.
I guess that's true, Rich. I guess that is the truth. Oh, my goodness. That's where we are, fellas. It is, in fact, where we are. Listen, I'm going to take off because I got to be someplace. I'm trying to get back on, join the rest of you here on the phone. I got some clips of stuff I was going to play, but I'm probably not going to get to them. We'll get them up on Monday. Don't miss Monday. I sound like I'm signing off. I'm not signing off on purpose. I hope to reappear here. But in case I do, you guys go ahead and carry on. I got a let me see something real quick, Jared. Maybe this would be a conversation starter. Let me get my morning link up here again real quickly. See, we have to be in hey, guys, you know what we're doing today? You ain't going to believe it. Where am I? I lost all of you. We don't have flyer, do we, Shelly? They're opening a new Planned Parenthood. And we're going to the director's neighborhood today. Out flyer. So what we're going to do this morning. Yesterday, they hit two abortionists who live here in Indianapolis and went into their gated community and went door to door and handed out flyers about what it was that doctor does. See, they just know it's Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones lives next door. What does Dr. Jones do? Why, he's a lady doctor. He's a, what do they call them things, sweetie? He's a OBGYN, Dr. Jones. And then we knock on the door and hand a flyer. Says, oh, yeah, Dr. Jones kills babies. Oh, they hate it. So we're doing that today. We're going to go expose this new lady who's killing babies at Planned Parenthood. So that's what we're going to be about here today. We got groups going everywhere. We got a group going downtown. We got people going everywhere. We got people going to hospitals. We got people going to the to the abortion clinic. We had a lot of great stuff going on. So be praying for us. I don't want you to think I'm out here feeling sorry for myself, because I'm not. I'm excited about what we're getting ready to do. But it's crazy, man. It's just the world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. Look at that. I wanted to play that for Big Rich and get a chance to get around that. And they're probably all waiting on me downstairs. So I'm going to have to run. So, Jared, I just kind of killed 2 minutes there just saying a bunch of stuff didn't have anything to do with anything. So, I said I was going to go to stuff and see if we could do that. Jared, just play this. This will buy us a little bit of time. Guys, Jared, play this 3-minute clip on, it says Ben Shapiro. I want you to watch one thing as you guys are listening here. When you come back, you can jump back in here. Listen to Ben Shapiro, how he, say what you want to about him. Watch how he goes on the offense. Watch how he doesn't flinch. Because, boy, he's in the lion's den in this first part. It's about 7 minutes long. He's in the lion's den. Everybody's trying to shout him down, scare him down. He holds his ground. He stays on the attack. He doesn't listen to the freaking line. That's what we have to do. Jared, go ahead and play that thing, and I hope to see you here on the other.
Entertainment journalist Zoe Tour, pilot and reporter who herself is transgender, and Ben Shapiro, senior editor, Breitbart News, author of Bullies. Ben, does she deserve this award?
For what?
For courageously coming
no sound,
forward,
Jerry.
Having been an athlete of great prowess, and now fighting a new battle.
What exactly is the battle? I mean, self-definition is what you do, and my baby's doing it 18 months old. I wasn't aware that you get a medal for it.
To come out transgender is horribly difficult. It is the most difficult thing you can do. I've been overseas. I've flown helicopter missions, surveillance missions. I've been shot, stabbed. Being brave is being yourself. And being transgender is about the bravest thing you can do. Does she deserve the award?
65?
Yes.
Why are we mainstreaming delusion?
It's not delusion.
Why would you call it delusion?
Because Bruce Caitlyn Jenner, I'll call him Caitlyn Jenner.
No,
because
it's
that's
her. You're not being polite to the pronouns.
Because
disrespect.
Okay, forget about the disrespect. Facts don't care about your feelings. It turns out that every chromosome, every cell in Caitlyn Jenner's body is male, with the exception of some of his sperm cells. It turns out that he still has all of his male appendages.
But
how he feels on the inside is irrelevant to the question of his biological status.
I'm not, I don't agree with that. I'm not on that train. I'm going to call her she. I just have a problem with the message and the messenger.
So, well, let's I'm going to do two things. I want to reiterate what Zoe said, which is the bifurcation of the courage to come forward after a lifetime as a male and a certain kind of a male versus did she deserve this award? Listen, awards, what are award ceremonies except an opportunity to catch some eyes?
Especially the ESPN.
ESPN, well done, ABC. Yeah. They did exactly what their job was, attract eyes. They did it. That's what award ceremonies are for. But in terms of the science behind gender dysphoria, you're very familiar with that, Zoe.
Very familiar.
It's not about the chromosome. Excuse me, the chromosomes within
we
our
both know
nuclei.
Chromosomes don't necessarily mean you're male or female.
Gender.
With gender,
gender
of
identity. Go ahead.
Now, so especially, but even so, you have a thing like Klinefelter's syndrome. So you don't know what you're talking about. You're not educated on genetics.
Are we supposed to discuss the genetics?
Well, no.
Your genetics?
I'd stay away from the genetics and back to the brain scans.
You cut that out now, or you'll go home in an ambulance.
Yeah, that seems mildly inappropriate for a political discussion.
No, I know. Well, yeah. But to be fair, you're actually being rude.
No, that's not fair.
I'm sorry. It's not rude to say that someone who is biologically a male is a male.
Someone who is biologically male is a male.
But Mr. Shapiro, you knew very well that saying that to Zoe would be egregiously insulting.
It's not a matter of insulting or inflammatory.
It is.
Sir,
you're right. On paper, what is a fact is a fact, and I can't deny that. But you knew that going in, saying that to Zoe would be aggressively insulting.
The entire discussion is whether we are embracing mental illness and delusion as a society. That's the entire discussion.
Ben Shapiro is editor-at-large at Breitbart.com and the author of Bullies, How a Less Culture of Fear and Intimidation Silences Americans. So why am I off the rails, Mr. Shapiro?
Honestly, Pierce, you've kind of been a bully on this issue, because what you do, and I've seen it repeatedly on your show, I watch your show, and I've seen it repeatedly, what you tend to do is you tend to demonize people who differ from you politically by standing on the graves of the children of Sandy Hook, saying they don't seem to care enough about the dead kids. If they cared more about the dead kids, they would agree with you on policy. I think we can have a rational political conversation about balancing rights and risks and rewards of all of these different policies, but I don't think that what we need to do is demonize people on the other side as being unfeeling about the about what happened in San Diego.
How dare you accuse me of standing on the graves of the children that died there? How dare you?
I've seen you do it repeatedly, Pierce.
Like I say, how dare you?
I mean, you can keep saying that, but you've done it repeatedly. What you do, and I've seen you do it on the program, is you keep saying to folks that if they disagree with you politically, then somehow this is a violation of what happened in Sandy Hook. And you have yet, I really like to hear your policy prescriptions for what we should do about guns. Because you say that you respect the Second Amendment, and you know, I brought this here for you so that you can read it. It's the Constitution. And I would really like for you to explain to me what you would do about guns that would have prevented what happened in Sandy Hook. If you want to do what you did in the UK, right, which is ban virtually all guns, that is at least a fair argument. And we can have a discussion about whether that's something that we ought to do or not.
I made it very clear what I want to do, which is exactly what Mark Kelly wants to do. And in fact, rather than address your comments to me about standing on the graves of children at Sandy Hook, you can address them to Mark Kelly because he agrees with everything that I've been saying, because he feels the same way as does his wife. They're gun owners. They both respect the Second Amendment of the Constitution. They don't want to take away anybody's right to defend themselves with guns.
They want to take away certain types of guns, obviously.
They want to take away assault weapons, which are capable, with magazines like we saw at Aurora and Sandy Hook, of unleashing a ridiculous amount of...
Well, this is a question I wanted to ask you, Pierce, because I've seen you talk about assault weapons a lot, and I've seen Mark Kelly talk about assault weapons. Mm-hmm. The vast majority of murders in this country that are committed with guns are not committed with assault weapons, they're committed with handguns. Okay, so are you willing to ban handguns in this country across the country?
No, that's not what I'm asking for.
Why not?
Let me ask you...
Don't you care about the kids who are being killed in Chicago as much as the kids in Sandy Hook?
Yes, I do.
Then why don't you care about banning the handguns in Chicago?
I wanted to share with you. According to Pew Research, the net worth of white families in 2013 was $141,000. For black families, it was $11,000, even less than the $19,000 it was in 2007. According to economist Edward Wolfe of the University of New York, excluding vehicles and other durables, the median black family worth is just $1,700, while 40% of black families have zero or negative wealth. White family worth, in terms of financial worth, is 69 times more than that of black families. Given this disparity, how can you argue that racism is not a driving factor in income inequality?
Because it has nothing to do with race and everything to do with culture. And when you have a culture that doesn't... You know what? Explain to me. You explain to me why black kids aren't graduating high school. Explain that one to me. Explain to me why black kids are shooting each other in rates significantly higher than whites are shooting each other. Explain to me why 13% of the population is responsible for 50% of the murder. Explain to me why the number of black kids in prison, not for innocent reasons, not for walking down the street and getting pulled into a prison, is so high. Explain, if it has nothing to do with culture, explain to me why the single motherhood rate in the black community jumped from 20% to 70% in the same course of time that the civil rights movement has made such tremendous strides. Is America more racist now than it was in 1960? And if it is, please explain to me how that happened.
It's all the truth.
People hate the truth, though. I think someone said truth sounds like hate.
Truth is such a powerful weapon.
Amen, brother.
Now, racism is obviously more, racism is way worse now than what I went to high school in the 60s. But the racism is found mainly on the part of a minority that has totally racist and hateful attitudes toward a majority. It's not the majority putting the minority down. It's the minority perpetuating a condition of warfare between the two groups in their mind. And that is, in my opinion, the number one reason the minority lags behind in economic and all other kinds of factors.
Sure, and it's group warfare. I've always had a problem with stereotype and race and discrimination and what they all mean. But let's just take our own demographic, Christian. Based on the worldly view of Christians, I love being a man of Christ? What does being a Christian mean? It's a whole demographic of a stereotype that we're being judged by, just like, you know, the stereotype in a racial situation. You break the mold. How do you break out of that? You got to change your behavior from your culture, from your stereotype.
I'm glad you mentioned that it's a group thing, and you're absolutely right. The left has the upper hand politically, or at least has, and I believe they still do, has had the upper hand because so many on the so-called right are in their camp. But the left has the upper hand and has had the upper hand in politics for so many decades because they stay unified. A certain group of people in this country over the centuries have had an unusual percentage of power in their grasp because they thrive on unity. I'm talking about the Masons.
Larry.
The ISIS.
Larry.
The reason they are effective is because they are unified. ISIS is. Now, the rest of Islam may have some different segments and stuff, but ISIS itself is unified in its purpose. Now, what is supposed to be the most unified group on earth? Followers of Christ, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. Every time you read in the Bible that you heard from the beginning, you read that context. Every time it mentions that you heard from the beginning, it talks about the unity of one another. The unity of one another. And we sit around, instead of promoting unity over the decades and centuries, we've created some 9,000 split offs. Yeah.
It's just an amazing work, long-term strategy of Satan.
Can I say something, please? Hello?
Can I say come on in, Roger.
Say it, Roger.
Back to the Ben Shapiro video.
Sure, I don't have anything.
That's what we're making a reference to.
I think it's the...
This is not a political thing. This is a Jesus thing, totally. Black fathers are not in the home. The black family unit has been destroyed by government policies.
How far is it, Sancho?
4 miles, and you're going to get on 3.7 miles left on 70.
Jared.
Hey, Coach, you're up.
Jared. I guess the thing I would say about the video until Dave comes on is keep our comments towards what we're trying to discuss a little bit. The issue is with Ben Shapiro, I believe, I think he's a Jewish man. I may be wrong there, but I think he's a Jewish man. I may be wrong. He is standing up for what we should be saying publicly, that being culture is key within the black community, and it's the same problem within the hillbilly community as far as why they are sometimes held back. It's culture. You take dads out of the home, you're going to have trouble. That's what we're seeing. When you take self-reliance away from the people and they rely on government, that's what we're seeing. This isn't complicated stuff.
And I can qualify the hillbilly comment, me being one. So I live amongst these folks. My son's going through a very similar situation. A hillbilly as he is too. He's got 4 kids. Just found out his wife's not been so wholesome. And, you know, I kind of view it as a Christian center in the government. You know, for him to enter that situation knowing she is who she is, put his trust in God, that's a real world thing that he has to bite off. And he has to have that much more relationship with Christ in order to undertake that situation with her. Imagine a Christian going into the Pentagon, as Dave mentioned with Sarge. Look at all the other people who don't know what we know. They know it's all around us. They don't have the strength to do it. They've not dedicated their life to Christ, and they can't overcome these forces. To be scared to death of getting into this.
The analogy of hillbilly is if we're going to go after the cultural problems in the black community, the numbers are not that much better in the white community. That number, 40 to 50% of babies are being born without fathers around.
It's the two extremes, right? You got the black extremists, the right extremists, any of the extreme groups, they're bred out of these situations. The hillbilly group, you know, down in Tennessee and in Crossville and that area where the KKK was formed, that's us. That's not, we're not proud of that down here in the South, but that's what happens whenever, I don't know, you get these cultures like y'all are describing.
Hey, fellas, when God established, when he created the world, he created physical laws. He also created spiritual laws. I think Roger's on to something, because God created Adam and Eve, the first family. And there's a certain set of rules. A natural family is one man, one woman, in a monogamous, lifelong relationship with their biological and or adopted children. And when we start going outside of that, for example, how many people when they get married are both virgins? And it means a lot to be that. How many people live together before they get married? We try to break all the rules, and then we try to get into God's blessings, and it just stinks the place up. To me, we have to get back to the basics. And basics for me starts with the family. That's what God started with Adam and Eve. And that's what we need to get back to. We need to get back to establishing the concept of the family. Look, 95% of us don't come from natural families. We've been divorced. We've got other issues. We've had affairs, or we had premarital sex. So to say that everybody has to be a natural family, you can't just do it all of a sudden, but we need to focus, where there's no vision, the people perish. We need to focus on the concept of the natural family. I think that's going to take care of a tremendous amount of our issues, and it's going to take a while to do that. When Ben Shapiro was talking, he was talking with homosexuals. Well, we've allowed that to happen. In a natural family, you can't have a homosexual. In a natural family, you can't have a transgender.
So let me ask you a question. You send your kids to school, and this is a problem all parents are facing, and you teach them, a man, a woman, one each, not multiples.
Right, right.
Like, how in the world do they go to school hearing just the opposite? School's wrong, Mom. School's wrong. It's not the way it is. Eventually, that festers, they rebel, they go do what's wrong. I mean, it's being taught that way.
Yes, schools are served. Schools are
served. Absolutely. But for our children, we're not there.
In a family, children learn structure, and they learn authority. And there's a vertical relationship, the father, the mother, the children. That's been flipped to where it's horizontal, where you have father, mother, children, schools, government, business, news media, education. They're all equal to the father now. Again, this is part of getting back to the natural family. It's just in what it consists of. It's how it works, the structure, and then the practice. That help?
Hey.
And it usurps the authority of the father. The schools do.
Yeah.
And, plus, the father doesn't, in today's world, a majority of men do not understand what is required to be a father.
They've not seen
JR,
it. Good.
JR, I agree with your entire argument you just made. You're absolutely right. The family structure is basically, along with putting Jesus Christ front and center in each individual's life. But the family structure is probably the most damaging destruction that's happened to our society in the United States. And how many months ago did you start the Natural Family Foundation?
Oh, probably January, February this year.
Okay, so it's almost 10 months old? Well, 11 months now?
I guess, yeah.
Okay, now here's my next question, is how fast and how big has it grown to the people that are actually willing to put their shoulder to the wheel and do something?
You know, Larry, it's kind of, I'm glad you asked that question. It's kind of like accepting Christ. First, you have to know about him. You have to know about Christ. You have to know about the natural family, what it is, what it's composed of, how it works, etc. You have to know that. Then you have to internalize that information. And then you have to act on it. And it is a process. And I think we've got something like 62 or 63,000 hits on our websites in 11 months. That isn't a tremendous amount, but it is something to look at.
Okay, but what, you know, when you first started, there was a suggestion made that you actually start doing something, that you actually organize a effective boycott against the most damaging program on television, in my opinion, against the natural family, and that's this stupid, most popular program, they say, called Modern Family. That one television program, poster boy for every evil thing against the family that there is in this country. And yet, and I'm the one that suggested that. And the reason I suggested that is because I learned a lesson with Rancher Lives Matter. And I tried to do Rancher Lives Matter that we're going to have one massive event at the end of at the culmination, you know, when the trial began and all that. And what I realized I should have been doing when the time came and the match and the big event fizzled out, even though we had thousands of people signed up for it, was we should have stayed active along the way. So they were used to being active when the big thing came. And I'm still encouraging, pick some kind of project that people can grab a hold of and start working on and working with others. And I think the numbers will grow quicker.
Might very well. It just doesn't. Right now, I'm not ready to do that. We're not ready to do that. I know it's because we're not good enough. That's a big battle when you jump into something like that, and you can get squashed pretty easily.
Yeah. I better shut up before I get myself in trouble.
All right. Hey. To just my thought on this, it's been a failure of responsibility in general. I mean, we can label it however we want, right? But there's been a failure of accountability and responsibility. Men are not taking responsibility for what they're supposed to take responsibility for, and that is leading. That is leading in every situation that they are in. Men are supposed to lead. How come everywhere I see women leading? You know, why? Now, if the men aren't going to do it, sure, let them go. Like with that Facebook thing. If she's saying the truth, awesome. But you know what would be better? If a man was saying what she was saying. Because it's men's job to lead. It's our job to lead. And we have to take back the responsibility that we have, that we can't give away. We can't give it away. God gave it to men to lead, not to women. And we've given it away. We've given something away that we're not allowed to give away, is really the problem. And now we have a distorted reality that we live in where men now want to turn into women. And women want to turn into men. Well, women don't really care because they just get everything. So that's my analysis anyway.
Yeah, they've confused this, the whole point. They've confused this.
Well, it's not they. It's not they. We've confused us.
Well, okay. We've allowed ourselves to be confused because, again, we don't have any structure. We don't have a lot of men stepping up and being real dads. They're too busy earning dollars. They're not at the house. They're deployed. They're gone. They're away. Or they're uninvolved. And so that's why men need to step up here and take the bull by the horns and assert themselves and go boldly, for Pete's sake.
Devil's in the detail. I agree with you, but the devil's in the detail, brother.
Well, you know, I really do think it's more simple. You know, the Lord put each of us in as the head of our household. I can't fix my neighbor's family. I mean, all I can do is use the authority God's given me in mine, in my own family. And I began to do that a few years ago. But I relate it to when we went to Texas and all these houses are flooded. The first thing you got to do is you got to get all that damaged goods. You got to get it out. And you got to sweep it up. You got to get that stuff. You got to clean house. And then you start from a clean slate and you start repairing. You start putting, because if you leave all this stuff in there, if you leave all this stuff in the family, it's never going to fix itself. It's just not going to happen.
So, Rich, what is that?
Let me share something. I'd like to share something from the Watchman out in Boise, sitting out front the day after. And one of the guys, he'd been through drug rehab. He's still in a program. And he gathered so much from that event that he was sharing with me. It came out just all at once. He's like, I built a tower. And he said, some of the floors I don't even want to talk about. They're the worst years of my life. Just meant for the glory of God. I was in line. What do I do with my tower? Actually, he said, I got to tear it down. I got to store the good years of my life and the things I've done. I got to put those in storage, and I got to take the time to build a foundation. Through this process, it's the first time he'd ever talked about it. Straight from God, but it made so much sense. I had a buddy come up, Chance came over from ASW, we're talking. Yeah, and he can't. So afterwards, you know, he's like, Mark, that wasn't me. He's like, I sit there and explained all that, and it was just a beautiful picture. Build his life. He's going to grab those floors, put them back in his life, build on those with Jesus. Keeps his floors clean, right? But he couldn't do it the second time. He couldn't go through it. And he shares with me, he's like, Mark, I didn't say those words. That just kind of came out of me. So God gave him that picture. He related it. It's only through interaction with other Christians. It's only submission. He's rewarded for his submission. We heard that God rewards us for any bit of submission that we give him. He rewards us. He takes 10 steps towards us for every one step we take towards him. Good examples that supports what you guys are saying. Details, like JR said, I mean, revamp his whole life now. This isn't going to be easy. But I wanted to share that with the group.
Well, hey, Mark, and just to jump in with what you're saying as well, and then with Rich, and then Robert Sellers, here are some action things that I think, and I would love you guys to chime in on this, is what does a person do when they're changed, right? Well, Rick, like, you unfriend people on Facebook. It's not only you accept Jesus, and then you reject the evil. You reject the evil to clean the house. You reject the dirt. You sweep the dirt out of the house. You defriend Amen. People on okay. Facebook. You don't interact with your evil family members. You don't. Yeah, you clean house, right. And then once you're clean enough, you're never perfect. Once you're clean enough, then you can open the door and maybe let a little dirt in, and then see what it's all about. But then you sweep it back out again, like you. Right. Once you
rest assured, there's going to be consequences. You're going to have to be prepared to make some tough choices, and that's fine. That's fine.
You know, hey, Jared,
it comes with the territory.
Jared, you know, we learn something new every time we go on these missions. You know, down. You know, both times I've been in Texas, what resonated to me was, even a month after the flood came in, men. And women as well, they are still sitting there looking at their destroyed home and everything that's in it. They don't. They are frozen in time, and
just
until somebody and what they need to do is they need to take all that damaged stuff that means a lot to them. It really does. I mean, it's their life. They've got to take it and they got to get it out before they start. And they just cannot take that step forward. And then that's when we come in. We rent a big piece of equipment and we start moving all their stuff out so they can begin to rebuild. And it's the exact same dynamic with a family. If you don't start cleaning this stuff up, you're going to sit there like a deer in the headlights. You just don't.
Well, I think also, Rich, it's you're taking leadership. You come in there and offer leadership. And so Christ, his sacrifice, and that thing's rewritten, he's shown us how to be the leaders, how to lead our family, how to lead the household, and then we help others. You help your neighbor.
And then as you begin to do that, your neighbor sees it, and he says, hey, I need to start doing that.
Yep. Hopefully.
Right. That is the way we help.
Listen, gentlemen, we've kind of run out of time today. Let's keep the coach in prayer and everything that's going on this weekend across the nation. I would also like to invite you to join lionandlamb.net tonight if you monitor Hebraic, Christian Hebraic celebration. So join us at lionandlamb.net. And Jared?
Last call tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock.
Last call tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Is that right, JR? Yep. Okay.
I'll leave you with one thing. Lion and the Lamb, is that the name of it?
Lionlamb.net.
Lamb.net. Why isn't it wolflamb.net? If you look it up, it's no longer the lion shall lay with the lamb. This is another thing we'll look at with the Mandela effect.
Well, trust me.
The wolf shall lay with the lamb.
When you see it, you'll understand.
All right, folks.
Yeah.
We got to go, fellas.
Yep. All right, folks, God bless you. God bless America. Remember, America, bless God, and see you next week.
God bless.